Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And this is the Shame Free Zone. Welcome to Labor Day Monday. And we are live. I have with me Don Tallman. Don Tallman's actually an inventor. You know, you don't really meet a lot of women who are inventing things. I'm pretty impressed by that. And she actually sent me her invention, and I agonized and tried to figure out how the darn thing worked for several days. And then a girlfriend of mine came and helped me with it, and finally we were able to figure it out. And it's called a toy box. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's got like a cherry or mahogany finish to it, and looks like a jewelry box. But she's going to tell us exactly what it's for and what led her to invent it. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that impact parents when they try to pursue a sex life with children in the house. So, Don, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to have you to be on.
Well, and can you tell us a little bit about what caused you to invent a toy box? And maybe I want to actually, before you tell us that story, kind of tell the listeners what it is. You know, I said what it looks like, but tell us a little bit about it. What is a toy box?
Sure. The story actually is a great way to lead up to explaining the product. You'll have to excuse me. I'm catching a bit of a summer cold, so I do have a little froggy throat, and I apologize for that.
Okay.
I have three children, and right now they're 12, 10, and 4. And when my youngest was 4 years old, my middle boy was 2, she came to me with something that had been wrapped in a T-shirt and hidden under several things in my nightstand drawer where I could reach it while I was in bed. And it was an adult item, not, you know, it looked like a toy because it had like a little rabbit on the end, and it was one of those old style vibrating rabbit cock rings, the kind
right.
that you actually kind of have to screw down onto the penis.
Oh my God.
I liked it because I didn't use it as a cock ring, actually. I just really loved the ears, and I'd use the ears before I went to sleep. And it was just
sure.
something that, you know, I had always done. It's just a stress reliever for me, and it helps me get into a good place where I can relax and go to bed. Anyway, so Alexis brought me this thing, and I wasn't so much worried about telling her, oh, it's Mommy's massager. I was really worried about the call from Sally Johnson's mother. Your daughter showed me something today, and I really didn't want that to happen. I actually have a personal history with discovering things in my parents' room. And, you know, when you see things that you're not ready to see, it can really change things for you, especially if you're sharing those things with other people, because you're finding them in your parents' room, so you're not really sure that they're not what everybody does. You know, when you're at a certain age, you think, oh, everybody's got this in their nightstand or what have you. Anyway, so I went looking for something. I have a platform bed, so I couldn't keep anything under the bed. The nightstand drawer wasn't working out. So I started looking for things, and I found some really, you know, nice vinyl-type cases with padlocks on them, and just thought about when I was a kid, ooh, a key, what's a go-to? Let's go find out what this is going to open. And, you know, you'd spend a whole afternoon just sticking the key in every single thing. They had a hole in it. And the other things were like attaché cases. They look like maybe you had a, you know, nuclear weapon inside of them or something. Just wasn't something I could keep on my nightstand, which is where I wanted my rabbit to live. So I got together with a couple friends of mine, and we all shared the same concern, but for different reasons. One of my business partners, her husband owns his own business, and he's constantly got workers in the house, so you can't really leave prescription medication or checkbooks or credit cards, anything like that, laying about when you constantly have strangers in your, well, not strangers, but you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And my other business partner had 5 children, and they were all boys, and they liked to borrow her jewelry to give to their girlfriends. So everybody had a different reason for wanting this product, and we wanted to keep it unisex looking. So it's a rich man's cherry color, but it's very feminine. The inside is lined with a maroon velvet, and it's got a very feminine appeal to it. We wanted to make a jewelry box because a jewelry box belongs on the dresser or the nightstand. And when you walk into someone's room, you just, okay, clock, makeup, jewelry box. It doesn't seem out of place. It doesn't scream that you have anything in there that's incredibly personal. Yeah, valuable, your jewelry, of course. But if someone stole my toy box and broke it open, they'd be grossly disappointed. There's definitely no jewelry in mine. Not in the bottom, anyway. So we had an engineer. We had a concept, and we went through 27 versions of jewelry boxes before with the lock that was causing all the problems. I didn't want a padlock. I didn't want a keyhole. I didn't want anything that was going to lead people to start looking for a way to get into it. So we designed the jewelry box with a hidden lock mechanism. And I don't want to tell people how to open it because, you know, you never know who's listening, but it's very easy to use. You had a really hard time getting into yours, right?
Well, I did because I was, you know, I followed your instructions, which was do not read the instructions.
Correct, yes.
But try to figure it out. And I had a great deal of difficulty. And then when my girlfriend came over and she said, well, let me try. I, of course, told her everything that you had told me, that you could open it with one hand while you were still laying down in bed. And I told her what I had tried, you know, that had not worked. So I think that kind of, you know, she didn't try to go do the stuff that I had done, and she tried new stuff.
Right.
And then she was able to figure it out. But
excellent.
It took her quite a bit of...
I'm sure. I can tell you one more good thing about that is that the key is a magnet, so it can be kept other than with the box. So I actually keep mine on the screws on the back of my nightstand because nobody's going behind my nightstand for any reason, and it's easy for me to reach and still unlock. Because with my kids, they know how to get into the box, so I have to keep the key hidden, which is very easy to do. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with it. 8 out of 10 people, even with the key in their hand, have a hard time getting into it. It's a great privacy box. It's not just for sex toys. You can keep, you know, your jewelry, your passport, your checkbook, chocolate you don't want your kids to eat. Anything
right.
That'll fit in there. Full-size DVDs, handcuffs, naked photos that you just can't seem to part with. You never know where the heck to hide those so that no one ever finds them. It's a great little privacy box for that.
It really is. And now, toy box, it sounds like it's spelled T-O-Y-B-O-X, but it's actually
right.
Not. You spell it T-O-I, and then it's B-O-C-K-S.
Right. We went with the phonetic spelling.
Right.
I knew about, it was 2007 when we came, you know, became a corporation and started with the R&D, and the internet was becoming, you know, a lot more popular in 2007. So I wanted something that if people went to, I didn't want to be confused with a kids product. You know, I'm not
sure.
a kids toy box. I didn't want anybody to accidentally end up there. And at the time, Avril Lavigne had a song on the radio called Skater Boy, and she spelled it S-K-8-T-R-B-O-I, which was a real, you know, computer hacker type of way to do it. So we decided to go with the phonetic spelling of the T-O-I-B-O-C-K-S. We also have wheredoyouhideyours.com for people who can't, you know, remember how to spell toy box. We want it to be found by the people who needed us and not to be found by the people who we didn't want to get into the box.
Right.
So, yeah.
So in the naming of this invention, you went through some of the same criteria as you did in the actual invention.
Correct. Yeah, discretion is really important to me. You know, not to get into too much detail because it's quite embarrassing, but when I was younger, I found some things in my parents' room, and they were hidden, you know, in a drawer, not locked up or anything, but they were in a drawer. And I had a friend with me at the time, and I showed the friend. I was maybe 11 or 12, and I was a really naive 11 or 12, too, at that point. I went back to my mom's for this school year, and when I came back the following summer, we were living in a new place, and it was a brand-new house, and it was in a different area. And my father never, ever sat me down and explained to me the reason we moved was because I showed my friend what I found, and it was embarrassing to my father.
Oh.
So there are just some things with,
so
you know, kids.
Your parents actually moved?
My dad and my stepmom. Yep, they moved while I was away with my mother in New York. They actually moved because they were so embarrassed by my revealing this private thing of theirs that I found.
Oh, my God, how traumatic.
Yeah,
how
it really was.
Traumatic.
And I guess the weird thing is that I had to figure it all out on my own. I mean, he never told me that was why. And then later on in my life, maybe in my 20s, I had a family member who confided in me that was the reason that we moved, was because, you know, I had shared this private information of my parents. And, you know, boundaries are things that you have to teach your children. They're not something that children learn. And, you know, you don't really know that until you know it. And one of my favorite expressions is, you don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it. And even with talking to my children on a daily basis, I'll say something to them, just assuming that they already get that it's common sense, that it is just something that would automatically happen, and you find out that it's not. And then you have to explain to them, you know, what it means and why it's important to do things a certain way. And boundaries are a really huge part of that. So I help people keep their boundaries.
Yes, you absolutely do. Now, how difficult is it to, you know, obviously you knew you wanted to look like a jewelry box, but where did you get the idea for the locking mechanism and using the magnet?
Well, I had an idea in my head, and I hired an engineer, a CAD drawing engineer, who did the box in 3D with the lock mechanism that I conceptualized. And we sent the drawings to the factory, and my concept didn't work. It wasn't replicatable. So an engineer at that factory actually redesigned it a little bit so that it worked the way that we wanted it to work. So, yeah, it was a big deal. It took forever to come up with it. We thought about, you know, slide locks, like maybe pushing something a certain way, like a puzzle box to get it open. And everything it just came out so obvious to me. I'm sure that the people were like, oh, woman, will you please just, you know, just like something. But, yeah, it took a long time, and I'm really, really happy with, you know, the final design because it works really well. I don't know if you're familiar with the Oh My Bod.
Yeah, I sure am.
The vibrator that you plug into your iPod.
Somebody just bought me one for my birthday.
It's so funny. She jokes all the time about putting me on the payroll as her proselytizer because honest to God, I've been using a vibrator since I was 16 years old. I'm 40 years old now. It is the Oh My Bod gave me the longest sustained orgasm I've ever had, ever.
Oh, wow. Now, did you have it hooked up to your iPod?
Yes. Actually, my husband's iPod, he hooked up the trance music, and we had, you know, the candlelight, and I had the headphones on, and I swear it felt like I was at a rave being carried by hundreds of people. It was just such an amazing sensory experience. It was really, really intense.
Let's explain the Oh My Bod to the listeners who may not have heard about that before. It's actually a vibrator which pulses to the beat of music.
Yes, it does. And it's really, really good with trance music. You know, it's funny because, you know, for me with the vibrator, it's usually a matter of, you know, getting it over with quickly because, you know, my kids might come in the room or something. I'm going to sleep. My door's open. The lights are off. I'm watching the door for any shadows, you know. But
right.
This was just such a different experience because the door was locked. The candles were lit. I couldn't hear the vibration, which I think made
okay.
a huge difference because when you hear your vibrator, you know what it's doing, and it's just like mental. But without hearing it and with your head being filled with thump, 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 it was really, really intense, really intense. Anyway, so she has a toy box on her nightstand, on her dresser, and her daughter is 9, and I saw her at a show not long ago, and she told me, first thing she does when she goes into her room, the daughter, is she opens the toy box and plays with the things mommy's allowing her to play with. And about 3 weeks into it, she goes, you know what, Mom? For such a big jewelry box, this doesn't hold very much.
No kidding, huh? Now,
yeah,
let's explain that. Let's explain that top tray actually looks like the top tray of a jewelry box.
Yeah.
And so you store things that you would not mind people discovering on the top tray. But what lies underneath the top tray is a empty chamber that is protected by the locking mechanism.
Yeah, it's quite large, too. When you look at the pictures on the Internet mm-hmm. or even on my own website, you can't really tell how much this thing holds. The tray is about a half an inch high. So everything from the top half inch down is storage space. So right now in mine, I have another vibrating rabbit cock ring that I love so much. My Lalo Luna beads, screaming O-ring, a couple pocket rockets, some chocolate body frosting, a knob essence fling, my Oh My Bod,
wow.
My Onye, rock chick, and my Swiss Army knife. My son kept playing with my Swiss Army knife, so I stuck it in my toy box because I didn't want him to get hurt by it.
Right.
Yeah, you can fit a whole lot of stuff in there.
Now, how old are your children?
12, 10, and 4.
Oh, you've
my
got them all
the
over
oldest.
The place there.
Yes. My daughter is the oldest. I have a son in the middle, and then the baby is a boy as well. Yeah, it took me 5 years to talk my husband into letting me have the last one. That's why there's such a huge jump there from 10 to 4.
Well, that's,
but I'm
that's
glad that
really
we did it
cute.
The way we did it because now, you know, the older two can watch the baby and, you know, my husband
right.
and I can have that intimate time together that we really need.
And talking about intimate time, now this is very difficult for a lot of parents. And one of the complaints that I've been getting, I don't know if you might have a fix for this since, you know, you're becoming something of an expert about parents who are trying to have sex. quite a few of my female clients have been complaining about the noise factor. So,
oh.
you know, it's like, how do you?
That's really easy to fix, actually.
Oh,
I have a sound machine in my room. It just does
uh-huh.
a white noise. It's a
right.
sharper image thing. That's always on. So even when the door is open, all they hear coming from my room is the white noise. But music, you know, I put the music on, and my kids know when the music's on and the door's shut that I'm not coming to the door. You know, unless the house is on fire, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I remember there was a movie. I can't even remember what the movie was, but it was something about if the cowboy hat is on the door, don't come in. So when
right.
Allie and Zachary were probably 6 and 8 was when we really started doing this full opportunity-wise, because at 6 and 8, they're old enough to not burn the house down, to watch a movie in the living room and eat their popcorn on the floor. So we would just tell them, Mommy and Daddy are going to go snuggle. And until they were older, oh, we want to snuggle. No, Mommy and Daddy are going to have talk, and it's adult conversation, and, you know, you don't really need to be there. Mommy and Daddy really just need to be alone together for a little while. And I think that really makes a big difference for your kids to show that you really respect your relationship with the person that you're married to, that, yes, they're important, but the relationship is incredibly important, too. So,
I think I was just going to say, yeah, speaking of boundaries, you're modeling excellent boundaries here about, you know, first of all, you can't get into mommy stuff, and second of all, mommy and daddy have time, and you need to honor and respect that time that they have alone.
Yeah. I'm a really open person with my kids, too. You know, we talk about everything. We have gay family members. We have family members who have diseases. My sexual education with my children started from Drake and Josh watching the Nickelodeon show, and Drake Bell's talking about, I've kissed a lot of girls, and I mean a lot of girls, but I've never kissed a supermodel, and this supermodel kisses him. So right then, you know, they were, 8 and 10, and I'm sitting here telling them about mono and herpes and, you know, all the things that they can get from kissing a lot of different people, because society paints a different picture for what's acceptable than I personally want to paint for my kids. They're young. You know, when you're 18, 20 years old, if you want to, you know, start exploring those kind of things, that's fine, but you're not ready for that yet, you know. I don't let them watch overly sexual movies. I answer any questions that they have. We talk about sex. They know the mechanics. They know about the diseases. Do you know, I read an article in Oprah. This was the day that my daughter decided she wanted to know everything about sex. Oprah did a series on, an article on talking to your teens about sex, and my daughter decided she wanted to read it, and then we would have our talk. I guess hearing it from a stranger is sometimes a little easier than hearing it from your mom. So she read the article, and one of the things in the article was a rainbow party. Have you ever heard of a rainbow party?
I haven't.
Okay.
So
a rainbow party is where a bunch of junior high-aged girls or high school-aged girls all wear a different shade of lipstick, and they all give a blowjob to the guys, and the guys decide, try to see how many colors of the rainbow they can get on their penis.
Oh, my God.
I'm 40 years old. I've never heard of anything like this, but it's out there, and it was in the article. Obviously, this is going on enough that it came to Oprah's attention. So I want my kid to know that, yeah, okay, this boy is going to tell you what you want to hear. You may want to do these things with him. He may kind of push you into it, but guess what, honey? The next day, everyone's going to know what you did. He's going to tell everybody, and even if he doesn't, he's going to slip, and it's going to come out, and then people are going to be talking about you, and you're going to be the story of the day. Same thing with the sexting. You know, I my daughter has this Pingu. It's like some text-free app for the iPhone, and it copies me on the texts because she has no privacy. Until she moves out of my house, she has no privacy. It's not going to happen, and I'll tell you why in a second. But one of the texts came through, and it was really graphic, and I printed it out. And I sat in my room, and I said, I want you to go get the paper off the printer and read it, and then I want you to bring it to me, and we're going to talk about it. So she went and got the paper, and she read this text, and she came back in the room with a totally busted look on her face, and I said, I need you to understand that's permanent. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, that's permanent. It's always going to be around, and anybody can show anybody else what you just said to this girl. You don't know what's going to happen, so you need to use your head, you know, when you're putting things on paper, because they're permanent. Yeah, it's something that you really have to explain to them. But I had a big scare with her.
If you watch these court TV shows,
yeah,
it's always somebody's always getting busted because of something that's on their cell phone.
It just happened to Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton supposedly, you know, borrowed a friend's purse. And then that's whose cocaine was in the purse. And they're not stupid. The TMZ went back all the way back on Twitter and found a picture she posted in July of her new purse. And guess what purse it was? The same one she got busted with.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be really careful what you put out there. But last year, I went to a trade show, and I came home really late at night. It was like 11 o'clock. I mean, 11 for my kids is late. And my daughter was on the computer, and my friend needed to purchase an airline ticket or something. So she went to get on, and my daughter minimized everything, and my friend says, oh, it's just Facebook. And I go, wait a minute. She doesn't have a Facebook. She's 11 years old. She can't have a Facebook. So I go and look, and she's got this Facebook she just created today. She took all these quizzes, one of which was, where's the strangest place you'll ever have sex at 11?
Oh, my God.
And then I find out that she had the AOL Instant Messenger open, and she's having this conversation with this person she met on YouTube who claims to be a boy at the local middle school, and he's saying very inappropriate things to my 11-year-old daughter in this, you know, AOL chat. I lost it. I lost it that my 11-year-old, after all these conversations about safety and about never telling anyone, you know, who you are, communicating with people, because you don't know if it's a 14-year-old boy or an 80-year-old man. You just have no idea. So when I found out about that, I locked everything down for her. And I wouldn't let her on the Internet for about 8 months. And then we started again, and I look at everything, every email, every text message. I keep an eye on it all. I have to. She's my baby, you know. She's going to grow up, but she's going to have my hand to lead her. Did I lose you?
No, not at all.
Oh.
No, I didn't realize you'd finished that point.
Oh, sorry. I can go on about things sometimes.
Well, I was trying to let you get the closure on that, and I understand the concept here of wanting to make sure that our children don't get exposed to people who are going to somehow or another, you know, hurt them. Where do you weigh in as far as trying to make sure that they get information that doesn't cause them to feel ashamed? What do you do for that?
I guess that's mostly through conversation with them. My daughter, one of the text messages that I read, she was saying something about, my mom has this thing that's for lesbians. She found a vibrator in a little bullet in the bathroom cabinet. And I sat her down and I told her, I said, you know, these things are not just for lesbians. All people use them regardless of their orientation or their race or anything. Everybody, you know, everybody masturbates.
Right.
I mean, if they don't, then that's okay if they choose not to, but it's very normal. My son found one of the bullets in a toy tissue that I had just brought back from a trade show, and he says, Mom, what's this? And I said, oh, it's just a little massager. Can I play with it? Sure. So I give it to him, and I go in the kitchen, and I'm doing the dishes, and I come back in the living room. He's 7. He's got his hand underneath the blanket, and he's got that thing right on his penis. And I said, Zach.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 7 years old.
Wow. Well, he figured that out really quick, didn't he?
It feels good, you know. It feels good. So I said, Zach, you know, what are you doing, bud? And he goes, it feels good, Mom. And I go, okay, well, why don't you go in your room and do that with the door closed, because you're not really supposed to do that in front of other people.
Good for you.
You know, we have a gay family member. My husband's brother is gay. And Zachary asked me when he was 8, Mom, am I gay? And I said, I don't know, Zach. Do you want to kiss boys? And he said, no. And I said, well, do you want to kiss girls? And he said, no. And I said, it's too soon to
tell. Good for you. That's a very nice balanced approach. And, you know, Oprah had actually had a program. Dr. Laura Berman was on suggesting that we give our daughters vibrators when they're in their teens, and that this would help them to avoid having sex perhaps when they didn't really want to, with somebody that they didn't want to have sex with, because it would take the edge off of all of those teen hormones, as it were. So I'm wondering how you feel about that, and if as a parent you plan on introducing your children to the idea of having their own personal vibrators at some particular age, and if so, what age would that be?
You know, that's a really good question. I like to gauge the things with my kids based on their readiness. My son was ready to have the talk when my daughter was 2 years older than he was. So you really have to go by what they're interested in. You know, if my kid's still playing with Barbies and, you know, not really talking about dating or anything like that, then no, I don't think that they're ready for that kind of a thing. But,
sure.
You know, my daughter tried to use a tampon. She wanted to go swimming so bad. And I don't know if it was the psychosomatic or what, but she just had this episode after it was in, so she took it out and she's afraid to try again. So I know she's not really ready for, I could tell by the conversation that we had about the tampon that she's not exploring herself that way. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's really important that you...
You want to honor where they are. You want to honor where they are, as individuals, right? Not have a one-size-fits-all.
Yes. Now, that being said, I get a lot of stuff from the trade shows and from my friends. I have a lot of friends who make stuff. And, if she came to me and expressed an interest or, was looking at my stuff, Mom, can I have this? I would never tell her no. You know, she already knows about the bullets because I have them in the bathroom. I have them in the, I have product in different places in the house for inside the demo boxes. When I take a demo box somewhere, and the older two sometimes run into them. So yeah, I think if she expressed an interest, I would definitely be open to letting her have that, but I don't think she's ready right now.
Yeah. Right. Well, let's get back to the whole idea of parents being frustrated about trying to have sex. Some of the things, too, that I think are very difficult is we've kind of covered the idea of putting your stuff that you don't want your children to find out about or get their hands on without permission in a toy box. What about setting aside time, creating private time? I know you guys, turn on the music and close the door, and that sounds like a really healthy boundary. But what if the children were quite a bit younger? I'm thinking your children are kind of getting to that age now, like you said, where they're not going to burn the house down. What would you recommend when they're younger and maybe, trying to make sure that nothing bad does happen to them? How do parents find time or circumstance to be romantic short of getting a babysitter and going to a hotel?
Well, I definitely, when my kids were younger, I would, they go to bed early. They go to bed at 8, 8:30. I always had a baby monitor. So, excuse me, I would just put them to bed and have the baby monitor in my room with my door shut and locked. If they needed me, I could hear them and I could go and take care of them. Yes, it would interrupt things, but as long as all's quiet, we can keep going.
Right.
I think that when they're older, it's good to do it at an earlier hour. I think a problem with a lot of people that I've talked to is they wait. They wait until bedtime. And, with all the things that parents are doing nowadays, there's no energy left at bedtime for me. My head hits the pillow. I'm out in about 90 seconds. So I need to go, before dinner, after dinner, during the day, sneak home for a rendezvous, what have you. But again, the smaller children are going to bed earlier. So yeah, get a baby monitor, lock the door and go for it.
Gotcha.
And leave the dishes till morning.
What?
What did you say?
You said there's still morning. Is that what you said?
Leave the dishes till morning.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I was thinking about, you said if I'm quiet, and of course as a sex educator, I'm always trying to teach people to make noise and brave and I'm wondering, did you find that trying to be quiet, minimized your ability to have pleasure at all, or?
I think, yeah, especially when you get into those, really high biorhythm times where you just want to go insane. But, the longer your kids are asleep, the less likely that they're going to wake up from, a sudden noise or noises coming from the room. The sound machine, again, really makes a difference because, that white noise carries really well.
Right.
And also, I always had, I'm a silver lining kind of gal, and when I couldn't be loud, in a lot of ways, it made it more exciting for me. I had to bite the pillow. I really wanted to scream, and I had to bite the pillow.
Right.
And, it kind of heightened it for me a little bit.
I can relate to that. I mean, when I was married and we had children in the house, I often used to, or even when we're visiting, like we're visiting your in-laws, you don't want to make noise there either. We'd use a lot of times I'd use a sock.
There you go.
a clean sock, but you know,
of course,
like something that I was able to put into my mouth and bite down on at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fun too sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. So what, are you developing any new products in addition to the box, or are you developing different kinds of boxes, or what's in store for the future as far as toy box goes?
Well, right now we have two products. We have the jewelry box that's designed for novelties, DVDs, bigger items like that. We also have a tissue holder that we specifically designed for condom storage, so that you can keep condoms on the nightstand and your children won't see them or have access to them. And a lot of people are using it for a lot more than condoms. They're keeping money in there and jewelry in there. I have some folks who emailed me that they keep the sharps. The guy's a diabetic, and his little granddaughter found the sharps in the nightstand, so he got the tissue holder to keep the sharps right on the nightstand so that he has real easy instant access to it, but the little granddaughter doesn't find them. I have more products scheduled for R&D. Toy Box came to market about 3 months before the economy collapsed. We're a luxury item. You know, we're $100. The Toy Box is $100. So I think a lot of people are, you know, putting more money toward the toy than the box right now.
Right.
But we're growing. We're in, you know, over 200 stores now, which is really huge for, you know, being a small business owner and doing it on my own and, you know, getting the word out there. So
and congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a very long journey. I could write a book. I'd be on chapter 8 by now of things that can go wrong starting your own business. Without a doubt. Anyway, All of our future products will be for discreet storage. They'll look like they belong in your home, and they'll also be discreet storage. So,
The tissue box is the same as the jewelry box? Like, it has a top that comes off?
No, actually, the tissue holder has a drawer that slides out. So when it's sitting on your nightstand, it looks just like a tissue holder. And
I lost you there for a minute. I'm sorry, Dawn. I could not hear you.
So the
tissue holder has a what?
The tissue holder does not lock. The drawer slides out.
Oh, okay.
And then just slides right back in. When we did our focus group testing, because the product was really designed for condom storage, we wanted easy access to it. So nobody wanted to mess with a key when trying to get a condom. And then the tissues are just a bonus, because you take the condom off and you can use the tissue to throw it away.
Oh, well, isn't that cute?
Yeah,
that is
actually
very cute.
Thank you. There's actually a toy tissue on every nightstand in the Mustang Ranch in Vegas.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So that's called a toy tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Toy tissue. And very interesting. Okay, so now you said there's some other things in R&D. Why don't you tantalize us a little bit with that? What's coming down the road?
Well, the biggest thing, believe it or not, that I got from people with the toy box was that it wasn't big enough. And I'm thinking, well, if you've got that many toys, you really need to have, you know, something bigger. So the beauty of the toy box is that you can keep your favorites right there by the bed. And then there are on the market even now other products like luggage pieces, et cetera, that lock, that you could keep the rest of your stuff in the closet. But there is a huge market for the BDSM toys and the bigger toys, that like the Hitachi magic wand. I never in a million years assumed anybody would want to hide that thing. I mean, it's a back massager. I have mine on the floor right next to my bed. But people do. They want to hide it. So I have a product that will be big enough to hold the Hitachi and some other things. It won't be able to sit on the nightstand, obviously, because it'll be too large for that. But we have another way to incorporate it so that it doesn't look out of place in your bedroom.
Oh, interesting. Now, see, I could totally relate to that because my Hitachi's on the floor too, next to the bed, and when the contractor comes over to work on my house or something, I'm always like, oh, I better put that away.
That's funny. Yeah, mine always just sits there. I didn't, you know, it's always it's on the shelf as a back massager, so that's what it is.
Well, you know what? I understand, but I think for some of us, we know what we're using it for. We're pretty sure anybody that walks into our home is going to be able to figure out what we're using it for.
I think so.
And it does make you want to hide it.
Yep, and I'm working on it.
Huh. So that's very interesting, yeah. And then as far as kinky toys, for sure, I mean, because those can get very big. And they can also get you into a lot of trouble. That's something that's not as readily accepted as, you
correct.
Know, like maybe, you know, vanilla sex between two married people.
toys. Finding something like a gag ball in your parents' room would be a little awkward.
Yeah, certainly could be. Or not even your parents. I mean, just relatives coming over.
Yeah,
maybe that's true.
Your mother-in-law.
Really none of their business, and that would be so, you know, so difficult to explain to somebody who's like, you know, I could think about my own mother. If she found things like that in my home, I think she'd be traumatized.
I think so, too.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's just, for her, it's so out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah,
so
my mother's the same way.
Yeah. So
although my mother's
that
way with the vanilla stuff too. So.
I know. Well, see now, I think my mother would just be kind of like, as far as a vibrator goes, oh my God, what do you need that for?
Exactly.
That's so wrong, you know. But BDSM stuff, she'd probably cry for a month. I don't understand where I went wrong. So that's very interesting. I think there's a whole new market you could be tapping into there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And for anybody who's listening who might have things like floggers and stuff in their home, there is a lady who makes storage as well. It's not nightstand storage like mine, but it's, you know, you can keep it in the closet or under the bed. Her company's called For Your Nymphomation. And she makes the only case that's big enough to hold a flogger. So a lot of people who are into BDSM, from what I understand, because I'm personally not, they like to travel with their stuff. So it's really the only thing that you can carry those things in. That it looks kind of like a gun case to me, but it works.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
If I know you, Dawn, you will invent something which is quite beautiful.
Yes,
so
I've actually got two products that will work, you know, amazingly well, enabling the people who are into BDSM toys to keep them right near the bed and have them never discovered.
Very nice. Very nice. And you know what? You may actually be keeping some families together with that, you know.
I can't even begin to tell you how many thank you emails that I've gotten from people. Because I'm it. I'm the only storage product that you can keep right on the nightstand and keep kids out of your stuff. So I've gotten a lot of really great emails from people.
Share a little bit of that with us. Give us some idea of how it's impacting other people's lives.
I have, let's see, a lot of the stories don't have anything to do with sex toys at all. On her desk. So that she doesn't have to explain to her second grade students what her maxi pads are. Because they're not ready to know that. She needs to have them there, and so she keeps them there. I have people who keep both toy boxes and toy tissues on their desk at work so that they can keep things, you know, their wallet and stuff that's in their pockets for the men. They just throw it in their toy tissue and stick the key in their pocket and don't have to worry about their coworkers or someone coming through and grabbing their wallet out of their desk. A lot of the emails that I've gotten lately have been from the medical marijuana community. You know, a lot of people are using medical marijuana for pain management, and, you know, they have kids in the house, and they don't want them to know, and they don't want to promote it to them. And the way that the toy box is designed, it actually holds in the smell, so that when it's in there, you don't smell it at all compared to putting it in a drawer. You know, when you open the drawer, the whole room smells. So when
Absolutely.
You take the tray out, it does smell, but, you know, when your kids are going into your dresser, they're not going to accidentally locate it because it smells so potently. I have a lot of people who have just, you know, emailed me that with thanks. You know, they've got little kids and they don't want to have to explain it to their kids. So they just email me to say, thank you. I've been looking for something like this for a really long time. I actually, one of the funniest ones I got recently was a guy who got the toy tissue. He's a single dad, and he uses condoms on a regular basis, 2 or 3 times a week, if not more often, when he's lucky, he says. And he used to keep them in this little pot. It was like a ceramic jar on his nightstand. And the cat would knock the lid off the jar and chew on his condoms. So here he is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's trying to have, you know, this moment with the woman that he's with, and they're chewed. And you can't have that going on with condoms. That's just not a good idea. So he got the tissue holder, and now the cat can't get him anymore.
Oh, that is so,
yeah.
So smart. That's
cute.
That's a very funny story. Yeah, I was also thinking about prescription pills. It's kind of I don't know how, you know, I think, a lot of parents don't realize this yet, but a lot of kids are not going after the street drugs. They're going after their parents' prescription pills.
Absolutely.
So going through the medicine cabinet is a huge popular thing with kids. So it would seem like this would be a great way to keep your prescription pills, you know, tucked away so that your children aren't using them recreationally.
Yeah, I have a lady who emailed me that said that every time her cleaning lady's coming, she puts her son's medicine is $8 a pill with insurance. So every day when the cleaning lady's coming, she locks that up in the toy box so that she doesn't have to worry about them being taken and sold on the street.
Sure, and I would think too, you know, the housekeeper, but also the babysitter.
Yep.
You know? You're going to leave
any,
or like you were saying, contractors come into the house and you want to step away and you want to make sure that, you know, your stuff doesn't get lifted or stolen or just spied upon.
Yep.
It's a great thing.
You know, I have a realtor lady who gets a toy box for every house she has an open house for.
Oh, I think that's great.
there are things that, you know, laying about, and I mean, you can't pack up your whole house when you're showing your house, and of course you don't leave your diamond jewelry in your toy box during an open house, but there are little things that people would find valuable that, you know, you don't want to carry everything around with you, so she sticks them, has them stick them in the toy box, and they're all locked up.
Huh. Very, very cool.
Because you'll definitely notice somebody walking out of an open house with a toy box. You might not notice them, you know, walking out of the house with a Game Boy that happened to be left out in the kids' room or something.
Sure, yeah. But that it's just big enough that it does not facilitate walking away, you know, unobserved or unobstructed. You would definitely go, what the heck? It looks like you're carrying
exactly.
a jewelry box out of the house.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for curiosity, you know, because I started this interview off by talking about how impressed I am to be talking to a woman who is an inventor, and then you had mentioned just all that you had enough information to write a book about what not to do with a small business. So, you know, I thought maybe we could deviate a little bit from the, you know, parents trying to have sex and what this product is for. And talk a little bit just about you, about your personal journey, about, you know, being an inventor and an entrepreneur. So
it's been really challenging.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think one of my biggest problems is that I'm a very trusting individual. And, you know, when people give me their word in email or verbally, I trust them. You know, I don't expect that anything bad is going to come back from that. And that's a mistake. You have to get, you know, you have to always have a contract, even if it's, you know, friends or what have you. I lost a lot of inventory to quality control issues that were guaranteed I would not have. And what that meant for me was that I had to personally open and inspect each box from this whole shipment that I got to make sure that they were okay to send, because there were a lot of, cosmetic issues that the factory let go through. So finding another factory and going through those, and I started with a lot more business partners, and now it's just me. I have two silent partners, because it takes so much to keep going when when you don't have the resources. You know, I'm not Microsoft. I don't have a marketing team. I don't have a PR firm. I don't have a sales department, although now I have a distributor, which I'm so grateful for. You've got to put on your boots every morning and just work your tail off. You have to know everything. You have to think about everything before it happens. And fortunately, I've had so many mentors in this business who, even now, I can just send them a text message. This is what I want to do. What do you think? And they'll give me their opinion. And that's really, really critical. I've never done a product before. I was in health insurance before I did this. I have a software company with my husband's family, and getting a product, getting a patent, getting the trademark, all the corporation paperwork that you have to know, you have to file all these different things every year, and your taxes. There's so many things to know that you can really get caught along the way with the problems that you can have. So if you're going to go into business for yourself, if you want to bring a product to market, you really have to know what you're doing as far as starting the business, running the business, understanding price modeling. If you price your product wrong, you're never going to make it, because you can't go up. You can come down on the price, but you can never go back up again. Same thing with stores. You can get into Macy's and then go to Walmart, but you can't get into Macy's after you've already been in Walmart. It just doesn't work that way. So there are so many different things to know with marketing and advertising. And, you know, I've managed to do quite a bit with this business in 3 years, and very, 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 very little money spent on advertising. And it's just by going after the people that I think will benefit the most from the product and just really giving it everything that I've got.
Have you found that there were any obstacles that were unique to your being a woman, or perhaps being a parent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Not only being a woman and being a parent, but being someone who is gun-shy about privacy. It's really interesting when you're on the websites that are selling these novelties and you're in the stores. They go so far out of their way to protect your privacy. You know, you can shop online, you can shop in your home, we're going to put it in a black bag, we're going to ship it in a brown paper box, we're going to change the name of our store from, you know, Hot Mamas to HM on your credit card slip. There's so much discretion that occurs before the sale, but then after the sale, they're on their own. So here I am coming out and saying, look, you know, people don't want their kids to find their things, and these buyers, they've got toys in their kitchen, you know. They've just got them everywhere, and a lot of them don't get it. They're very sex positive. They're very open about toys, but I think they forget that, yeah, great, you teach classes about blowjobs, and that's awesome, but do you really want your four-year-old niece to find your manual? So that's
right.
Been the biggest challenge for me, is getting people to take the solution seriously. The consumers are all about it. When people do decide to bring it in, the consumers show them that, you know, it is a worthy product by buying it, sometimes by the case. So, a lot of men in the industry tend to, you know, I don't know. I've always felt respected, but I also feel, objectified, I guess? I don't know. It's
right,
hard to be mistaken for a booth babe in your trade show booth. You know, you're talking to somebody and you've got your T-shirt on, and they're all, oh, yeah, this is great. And what do you do? And I said, this is my business. This is your business? Yours, really? I thought you were, like, hired to look cute. I'm like, no. Nope, it's mine.
Thank you, I think, huh?
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, maybe. Yeah, well, and what about having faith in yourself? I mean, you got this idea from your daughter finding your little rabbit cock ring. But how do you, like, say, okay, I'm going to go make this product and I'm going to, you know, sell it? How did you get past the, you know, the feelings that maybe, I think that maybe you had, I don't know, but of wondering if you're crazy and will anybody else appreciate this and will it really, you know, sell or work?
Well, what helped me a lot was I took my prototype around to a lot of stores. The Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles was my first customer. They bought from the prototype and waited 7 months for shipping, and that really made a huge impact for me. I had a friend who I met through, I can't even remember where now, who had a party company, and she had a booth at Erotica LA, and I said, hey, you know, do you mind if I just stand in your booth and show people the product and see what they think? So, you know, there's 5,000-10,000 people coming into this trade show each day over the course of a weekend. So I got a really great, you know, sense of feedback from people, the price point and everything else. And I did a lot of toy parties. I have friends who have toy party companies, and I would just go as a guest. And she would show the toy box and, you know, get the feedback from people. So it's really important to get unbiased answers from people about products. So I think toy parties and trade shows are a really great way to do that.
To get the unbiased feedback, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
but, you know, I hear what
Go ahead.
A background and what? No, it's okay.
Well, I thought you said you were in real estate or something before.
No, health and...
Oh, health insurance.
Jewel Health Insurance for 3 years.
Okay, so you were in health insurance for 3 years. And that's sales? You were doing sales?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Yeah, so you had a certain level of I suppose, confidence, but it's still quite a leap there to go out and... When you have children, no less, you know, this is a very difficult thing for a lot of women to go start their own company when they've got small children. And
It's hugely difficult.
Yeah, well,
and to be honest with you, if my husband didn't have a good, solid, you know, income coming in, I wouldn't have been able to do it because, you know, the first couple years, you don't make any money. You know, everything you have is going to pay for your loans and, you know, whatever else you can sock into the company to help it grow. It takes a really long time to get something like that off the ground, and it doesn't happen quickly. So stamina is really the most important thing. Passion, yes. Getting it out there, yes. Working it hard, yes. But you have to get up every day and push yourself to just, you know, keep knocking on doors. I think the health insurance really helped me because I would have to make 50 to 60 calls every day to write 1 to 5 applications. So,
wow.
It was really a lot of work in following up. And the best thing about me for that was that I was the only one still calling them a month later. So if they hadn't decided up to that point, they almost always went with me. And I haven't been in health insurance for 3 years. I just got a call again today. Hey, are you still doing the insurance? I know somebody who needs a policy. So when you're, right. you can affect people like that, they remember you. And that really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
With the whole... That's... Somebody else gave up on me.
Yeah.
I mean, my other partners.
That's utterly amazing. Utterly amazing that you would do 50 calls in one day just to get, how many did you say, 1 or 2?
1 to 5 applications a day. And it wasn't even always from those calls that the applications were coming in. A lot of the times it was people returning calls from another day. But you have to have a huge pool to pull from. And, you know, I made good money. I mean, I worked part-time, and I made a lot of money at home in my jammies doing health insurance, so I couldn't complain at all. But, you know, I wanted more. If you go back in my family tree, we invented the rural mailbox. That was in my family. And my grandfather was a marketing genius, worked for Members Only and Playtex. He was with Playtex when they came up with the Cross Your Heart campaign. He was part of the first, you know, you go into the grocery store and you get free samples of stuff. He was one of the first people to do that with products in the grocery stores. So, yeah, real big history. And I felt like I really wanted to live up to that. And, you know, people wait their whole lives to think of something that people need, you know what I mean, like the zipper or the Post-it or a blender. I mean, there are only so many products that can be invented. So to be able to come up with one that solves such a problem for me and other people, obviously, really, it's really huge.
I think it really is, too. And I think you've got a very interesting story, regardless of what you're selling. But it's really great that you've invented something to help. You know, you wanted to solve a problem that you had with your, you know, young children going and digging up your sex toys, which also can't be too sanitary, you know.
Right. Right.
And you've turned it into something that we can all use and benefit from, and it does sound like there's just an unlimited amount of uses for it. And, you know, the great thing is if you are helping people to achieve, you know, more connection and intimacy and of course, orgasms. I think all of that stuff is very important because of stress reduction and, you know, it creates a more peaceful culture if people are getting their needs met.
Absolutely.
So, so I applaud you. And I think it's great that you got yourself in all these different stores and over at the Mustang Ranch. And
I crawls up every day. It's exciting to watch.
Yeah, and you're going into a lot of areas that, you know, where you're talking about sex or you're working with people with the brothels or whatever where, you know, they may or may not be always open to, well, you know, there's a lot of shame around women and sex, so I'm just saying that I think it takes even a little additional courage for you to put yourself in contact with some of these businesses.
I agree. I donated a toy box for an auction at my kids' elementary school, and they, you know, auctioned it off with a really nice necklace. And a couple weeks later, I ran into the husband, and I said, I know you. Your wife won the toy box. And he looks at me like a deer caught in the headlights, and he says, yeah, but she didn't know what it was for when she bought it.
Aww.
I said, it's just a jewelry box, honey. It's just a jewelry box.
Oh,
so,
God.
So, yeah, I get the whole shame thing for sure.
Isn't that something? That is ridiculous. I mean, you know, just put your keys in it and stop obsessing.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's beautiful. I think it's a wonderful idea. I'm glad that you're getting, you know, making it possible for more parents to have sex because oftentimes the presence of children really can have a deleterious effect on that, and that's not good for the marriage or the relationship. So, and it's not what we want to model for our children anyway. We want our children to see us being sexually vibrant and happy and because they will emulate whatever it is we put in front of them. We certainly don't want them emulating, you know, lives that have no pleasure because then that's the kind of life that they're going to live.
Absolutely.
So I think that's great. Yeah. Well, we're about at the end of the show here, so this is a great time for you to tell people how they can get their own toy box.
Excellent. They can go to our website, which is TOIBOCKS. And if you have a hard time finding it that way, you can just go to wheredoyouhideyours.com. We're also available on Amazon and thousands of other websites. We're in all the Hustler Hollywood locations. We're in Good Vibrations. We're in the Pleasure Chest. We're in the Stock Room. So a lot of the real high-profile names, you can find us there for sure.
Awesome. Don Tallman of ToyBox.com. Thank you so much for joining us in the Shame-Free Zone.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And now, back to the listeners here, just to let you know, I just got back from a tour of Northern California. I was up in Santa Rosa for about a whole day, and then down in San Jose, and San Francisco as well, Berkeley and Oakland. And I got to say, it was awesome. I was doing house calls to a lot of different locations. Most of those of you who reached out to me were actually couples. And I've launched a brand new program now where I am teaching anger management and sacred sexuality in concert with each other. And I'm also working with people who have what I call anger anorexia. Now, that may be a term you've never heard before. That's because I just invented it. But here's the basic premise of it. If you have troubles getting angry, if you feel ashamed of your anger, if you are one of these people who laughs and smiles when you actually feel like crying or screaming, if you find yourself always saying, oh, I'm fine, or it's okay, it doesn't matter, or if you're one of those women who's always apologizing when somebody else bumps into you, I'm sorry. It is possible that you suffer from anger anorexia. And a lot of times what we're doing is we're afraid to have any anger at all because we're afraid that we will express it in a way that's destructive or inappropriate. So I am certified in anger management techniques through Century Anger Management, but I've got my own branding on this, which is basically to help people who are not having problems acting out their anger, but instead having this problem of never getting angry, never connecting with that emotion. And it's a real important emotion. It's what gives us our fire and our passion and makes us engage with the world and possibly even want to change the world in a positive fashion. So if that sounds like you, feel free to give me a buzz. I work over the telephone, but I also go on these tours where I do house calls. And if you happen to be in the Nevada City, California area, which is out towards Tahoe, then I have an office there too. That number to call me is 888-903-0050. That's 888-903-0050. You can also email me, veronica@sexwithoutshame.com. That's veronica@sexwithoutshame.com. And if you just want to send me a little text message, my cell phone is 415-407-2932. That's 415-407-2932. That's it for the Shame Free Zone. We'll be back next week with yet another surprise guest. Okay, actually, we're going to have Janet Kiralesan. She's from World Polyamory out of Maui. So we'll be talking about having relationships that go beyond monogamy. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me. 그저 그냥